Now tonight, if you have your Bibles, in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our walls. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lamps. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Follow, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Then over in the fifth chapter and the second verse, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with the dew and the locks with the drops of the night. I want to talk to you tonight on this text, the voice of my beloved. If I had time tonight, I'd like to tell you about the whole story of the book of Songs of Solomon. It may not have ever meant anything to you, but if you listen tonight hurriedly as we skip through the scripture, turn back to the first chapter. We find in the first chapter, my friend, the Bible said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. That, my friend, is tonight a type and a picture of the church. In the Songs of Solomon, we have the church inserted, and Jesus speaking to the bride. And my neighbor tonight, you listen. She says, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with his mouth, for his love is better than wine. I believe, my friend, tonight that everybody that's ever been saved by the grace of God can say that. Wine is a symbol of the joy of this world. It's a type, my friend, of pleasure or joy or the feeling that you have out here in the world. But the Bible says that the love of God is greater or better than that. There's nothing to compare with the love of God. Nothing in this world that you can think about that compare with the love of Jesus that can come into your heart. The next verse says, because of thy Savior, thy good ointment, thy name is ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. And my neighbor, here's the way you get saved. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. He will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Now, my friend, that is a type for the way that you get saved. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. Then he said, if you'll draw me, she said, if you'll draw me, we'll run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. This is when a person gets saved. Then we'll be glad and rejoice in the Lord, or in thee. We'll remember thy love more than wine, and the upright loveth thee. Now, my friend, the next verse said, I am black but comely, O daughter of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtain of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keepers of their vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Now, my friend, tonight there's a type or a picture of the righteousness of a man or woman or a boy or girl, no matter who they are, before or after they're saved. If there's any, when you look upon us, there's no good about us. When you see us, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible said so. I used to think that is before you got saved, that your righteousness was as filthy rags. But neighbor, you're as black as hell without Jesus tonight, no matter when. After you're saved, you have righteousness. Before you're saved, you don't have. But all of our righteousness, any time, is as filthy rags, as black as the sackcloth of hair. Tonight, without the righteousness of Jesus, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. Then my friend said, don't look at me, she said in verse 6, don't look at me, there's nothing good about me. But she said, in the next verse, tell me, O thou my soul, where thou, O my soul loveth, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companies? If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth with the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd tent. In other words, she's saying, don't look at me, but I want to know where you're going to be today and where you're going to feed your flocks. Now, down in the next chapter, we find as he said, now listen, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, my friend, tonight, he said, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. But the next verse, he said, and you are a lily also. Listen to that. Brother, I tell you, when I saw that here some few months ago, I had a shouting spasm because the Bible said, as the lilies among the thorns, so is my love among the daughter. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner of love, excuse me, was over me with love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. My neighbor, there is a picture. Now she said, first of all, I as the lily among the thorns. I'm like a lily among the thorns. That's every saint of God. You know, Jesus is the big lily and we're the little ones, and we're among the thorns today. And my friend, she said, here, as the apple trees among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Jesus, my friend, is like an apple tree among the woods. My friend, out here in the trees, you find all these beautiful leaves. But neighbor, there's no fruit. But I tell you, when you're a little boy out yonder somewhere, when you was back yonder in your days, early childhood, maybe went like I used to have to go to school. And I'll tell you, brother, when I used to go to school and I'd stop by and I hadn't had anything to eat maybe for a couple of 3 days and stop by somewhere, and my neighbor asked a man if I could get an apple off his tree, and he'd say I could. Brother, I'll tell you, there was joy. I'll tell you, out yonder in the woods, a lot of times I've been in desolate places where it looked like somebody had lived there before and planted apple trees somewhere in the mountains yonder, and I'd be wondering, find an old field that had grown up and all tired and worried and hungry. But my friend, come under an apple tree and sit down, and not only could you eat the apples and enjoy it, but sit there and the cool breezes passed while the shade of the tree was over you. And that's exactly what the Bible said here. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sit down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. And then, my friend, when it's all finished, he'll bring us to the banquet house with and his banner over me was love. And my friend, I could go on down through there and talk to you a lot about that, but I don't have time. Listen, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping up on the mountains and skipping up on the hills. Now, we'll hurry over here to verse 2 of the 5th chapter. And the Bible said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved. And my neighbor, tonight, this is a type of a saint of God. This is a type of a church. And I believe tonight that it's the type of the church that we're in today. The Bible said here, it's the voice of my beloved. But she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Now you see the picture tonight. My neighbor, she said, I sleep, but my heart's awake. Inside I know that I ought to do better. Inside I hear him calling. Inside I hear his voice, but I'm asleep. Somehow or other I can't rouse myself up. Did you ever hear somebody knocking on the door at the early morning? Did you ever hear somebody calling your voice and somehow calling you rather your name, and you could hear their voice ringing out in the ears, but down inside you somehow could hear them, but you couldn't get away? You know what I'm talking about. That's the condition of you and I tonight as the people of God. Brother, we're asleep, and yet, my neighbor, tonight, I believe God is calling. I don't think there's ever been a time when God needed men. I don't believe there's ever been a time when God needed young people. I don't think there's ever been a time when God needed everyone that here tonight to be consecrated and dedicated and up on their toes, dressed fully, and my neighbor ready to go. My neighbor, at any time of the night, at the bidding of Jesus. But my friend, she said, I sleep. This is her talking now. And he came in one night, and it was late and dark, and the dew was falling. And he came in, and he said, and he knocked on the door, and she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved. And then my friend, she said, I hear him say, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, mine defiled. Listen, my neighbor, tonight, you know what the church is going to do with Jesus, don't you? You know, my friend, tonight, what the Bible says in the book of the Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door, knock. He's not talking to sinners, my friend. He's not talking, my neighbor, to the sinner. He's been talking to the church of the seven churches of Asia. And he finally winds up on the outside saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'll sup with him and he with me." Neighbor, that's the condition, my brother, that prevails in the last day. That's the condition, my friend, tonight. And if Revelation chapter 4 is where the church is carried or caught up, if chapter 4 is where the church is raptured, as most folks believe it, and as most scholars teach it, in the premillennial view, if the fourth chapter is the place, then, my brother, tonight, before the church is gone, Jesus will be on the outside of the churches of the land. And he is tonight. Whether they go up in the fourth chapter of the Revelation or not, he's on the outside tonight. And, my brother, these fundamental people, and you tonight that are fundamental and Bible believers, are still asleep to the fact that God's meeting you and calling you tonight as never before. Oh, listen, brother, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "The fields are white already to harvest, and the labor's of few." And he said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the field." And if they were few then, they're going to be few now. And my brother, we've got a few tonight. Oh, listen, my friend, as she was asleep, and he said, "I hear her." She said, "I hear him knocking. I hear his voice, and that is him. I know who he is." Money, but tonight, I want you to look straight at me. Did you know tonight, my friend, that God, and I sit here tonight, and I prayed, and I said, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to preach this. But I said, Lord, I think some of these maybe have heard me preach around in this vicinity or about in this scripture somewhere. I don't know if they've ever preached it exactly like this. But I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why don't you let me preach another one?" And God said, "Son, I want you to preach this one." And I said, "Lord, I'd be glad and I'd be pleased if you let me preach another one. But God said tonight, in closing out, I want you to tell them tonight that I'm standing outside, that they've some of them got me crowded out. I want you to tell them that. Individually, I'm outside of their life tonight. I'm outside of their business tonight. I'm outside of their planning tonight. I'm outside of their circle tonight. And I want them to let me in. Tell them one more time. Tell them I sent you. Tell them I'm calling to you. Tell them I'm talking to you. To you, out of them. Tell them that I beg them to come, that they'll let me in, that they'll just open the door. It's dark." And brother, listen, he came to the Bible, said, and my friend, he came and said, "Oh, open to me, my sister. Open to me, my love. Open to me, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with the dew, and the locks with the drops of the night." Oh, listen, neighbor, could you ever see a sadder picture? It was dark, and Jesus was still out yonder. It was dark, and he'd been down in the garden working. My neighbor, he'd been down in the garden there carrying on the work. And the night came on him, and he came there, this beloved came, and he came to his own wife. He came to the one that he loved more than anything else. He came to his own, and my brother, tonight, there's nobody can hurt you like those that you love. There's nothing, my friend. And this book of Songs of Solomon is a love chapter. And there's nobody that can hurt you like that one that's dearest to you. And he came to his own house. He came to his own wife. He came to the one, his only one, the undefiled one. He came to his bride. He came, my friend, to his dove. And he said to her, "My head is filled with the dew and the locks of the drops of the night." He said, "I've been out here laboring hard and in the night. And I'm coming to you. And the dew's on my head and on the locks of my hair." And my friend, she said, "I've put off my shoes. You listen to me tonight." Oh, there's an excuse. You know, she said, "I hear him." Finally, she woke up. And certainly it was him. And he said, "I want in." Then here's the excuse. She said, "I put off my coat. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on again? I've got my coat off." "Well, listen, I can't get up and do that because I've already dressed to go to bed." You know, a lot of the church folks tonight, my brother, instead, they go so far with God. Yeah. They go far enough to get saved. And they say, "Preacher, if I can just escape hell, that's all I'm wanting." So they put on their righteous robes and they lay down and go to sleep. They put on the righteousness of Jesus. But neighbor, that's not enough. She said, "I put off my coat. How can I put it on again?" And my friend, she said, "I pull my coat off I've pulled all of my old righteous rags off. I've went and got me something that I can sleep in and I've laid down. Now, we've got a lot of folks today, brother, and just as sure as I'm preaching to you, we've got a lot of people, my friend, they'll quit this and quit that and quit the other. And they come out, my friend, as clean and as pure as a whistle. On the outside, they pull off the old man. And my friend, on the outside, they put off this and they put off that and they quit doing this and they quit doing that. And then they went somewhere and laid down and gone sound asleep. And my friend, listen, they can say, oh, I can't get up and put it on again. Neighbor, listen, we got a lot of Pharisees today in our church. We got a lot of Sadducees today in our church. We got a lot of people today, my neighbor, that is clean as a hound tooth on the outside, but they're sound asleep on the inside. And God never can use them. They won't even open the door to God and let Jesus come in and tell them what he wants. But my friend, listen, the Bible said, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? That's an excuse. How many of you tonight has excuses? Many of you tonight, no doubt, listening to my voice, would say, preacher, I would, but I have, you know, but preacher, I'd like to, but, and neighbor, listen tonight, you better listen to me. God is speaking tonight to somebody, and it might be for the last time that he's going to knock on your door. I believe as sure as God's in heaven tonight that I came here in this revival meeting. And my friend, I tell you, I believe that God is moving upon somebody's heart. And I believe, my friend, as I preach tonight, you better take heed to what I'm trying to say. And my friend, she not only said that, but she said, I've washed my feet. How can I get them dirty or defiled again? There's a lot of folks like that, you know. They get so sanctified and so set aside until, brother, they ain't going down across the railroad track to talk to nobody. They're too clean to be caught out trying to talk to that old bunch of reprobates on the other side. They say, let them go on to hell. Why didn't they come over yonder? They could do better. They better listen to me tonight. My friend, you're what you are by the grace of God. I don't care who you are. I'm both saint or sinner. And my brother, you listen to me. Jesus Christ, he came to the low. He came to the down outs. He came to the sinner. I don't care who they are. And my friend, a sinner is a sinner. Whether he's got money or he's a pauper. Either one, in the sight of God, they both look the same to him. There is no such a thing as a rich sinner and a poor sinner. They're all poor sinners. My friend, they're all wretched. They're all miserable. They're all naked. They're all blind. They're all lost. They're all going to hell. And there is no difference. But my brother, I listen to me. She said, I've put off my coat and how can I put it off again? I've washed my feet. And I don't want to get them defiled. I'd like to go, Lord, but you know how it is. But my friend, she said in verse 4, my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. And my friend, in that day, they tell me that you could reach your hand in through the hole of the door and rattle a latch on the inside of that door. And my, that's exactly what she done. In the inside of that door, she rattled a latch, or he did rather, on the inside, rattled a latch. She heard him. Oh, well, he's coming in anyhow. I want to stop right here to tell you, neighbor, Jesus doesn't do that. He may rattle your latch for the last time tonight. It may be the last call God will give you. It may be that God will rattle the latch on the inside of your heart. But he did, this old lady. He walked up and he stuck his hand through the hole of the door, rattled a latch on the inside and tried to tell her that he was out there. He called her and he talked to her. He talked good to her. He'd been good to her. And so he rattled the latch. My friend, he rattled the latch to let her know for the last time that he is there. And she thought, well, he'll come on in anyhow. I'll just sort of stay here. I'm not going to get up and do anything about it. Now listen, my friend, this old gal has already backslid once, and here she is a backsliding again. And my friend here, she said, I'll just sort of lay here. But after a while, she got up, and she heard the latch rattle, and she got up and decided to go out. And she perfumed her hands and put all kinds of perfume on, dressed up and wanted to look like and appear like she was something, so she went out. She didn't go out like she ought to as quick as she should. She went all backed up, fixed up, and dressed up. And the Bible said, when I opened to my beloved, I opened to my beloved, and my hands were dropped with myrrh, and my fingers were sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. But I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Isn't that a sad thing? Brother, listen, she went out there and she said, well, I believe I'll get up and sort of dress up. You know, I know a lot of backsliders tonight that says, you know, preacher, if I had ever come. comes that time when I think I'm good enough. Brother, you better come just like you are. My brother, no shoes, no coat, no nothing. Just come on back to God, just like you are. No way you dress up and get good enough. You'll never be that good. But she came out all dressed up and perfumed up and all fixed up, brother. When she came out the door, she said, I called him, but my beloved had gone. He'd withdrawn himself. He left, and he took his flight, and he has gone away. And my brother, I tell you, she said, my soul failed when I spake. I saw him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Isn't that something? There's some of you here tonight, no doubt, that'll say to me, preacher, I've been calling him, but I can't find him. I'd like to get right, but I can't. Oh, neighbor, you listen to this. Somebody better listen, and you better be paying attention, because this may be your last call. Bonnie, but tonight she said, here, I called my beloved, but said I couldn't find him. She said, my soul failed within me. I spake and I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Isn't that something? Have you ever got to that place? Now this is his beloved. This is his dove. This is his undefiled. This is the one that he loved above everybody else. And he said, I called, but she said, I called him. After he knocked on the door and rattled the latch, I went out to open the door and he wasn't there, and I called him. My heart failed. My soul failed within me. I almost failed. I couldn't find him. I began to call out and he wasn't there. I sought for him and I couldn't find him. And the next verse says, that the watchmen's about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me, the keepers of the walls, they took away the veil from me. My brother, that's a tithe. And I want you backsliders to listen tonight. Oh, what a picture here that we have. She said, I went out yonder after I found out I'd backslid and he'd left me. After I didn't do what he told me to. After he knocked and I wouldn't open. After he called and I wouldn't go. And neighbor, let me stop right here long enough to tell you that you don't backslide all the time because you got drunk or because you go out yonder in some honky-tonk or to the dance. That's not where Christians backslide. I don't believe there's a one of them ever backslid on the dance by going to the dance or drinking liquor or my friend committing adultery or some of these other things. I don't think that's where backsliding starts. I don't think that's the reason I don't think that's what causes folks to backslide. Now you listen to me. Look me square in the face tonight. I want to look at you. And if you can't look me in the face tonight, that might be a sign there's something wrong with you. And so you ought to be hypocrite enough to look me in the face if you've been a hypocrite thus far. And my friend, let me look you square in the eyes, because I enjoy it better when I can see you. But neighbor, you're not a backslider because you drink. It didn't start because you went to the first dance or out yonder to the honky-tonk. It started because when you hear God calling, you didn't answer. Then you go to the dance to try to get it off of you. You go drink to get it off of you. You commit adultery to get it off of you. Or you go to the shindigs to get it off of you, to the amusements of the world. But nobody ever backslid first because they just went out yonder and took the first drink. All right, I shall have done something else that God told him not to do. He came one day to your house and wants you to do something. He wants you to get up, and he wants you to open up, and he wants you to have fellowship with him, and you wouldn't do it, and that's a beginning of backslide. And the Bible said here, she said, the watchmen that went about the city found me. And now, brother, they tell me in the times of this writing, in the east, when a woman went out, that was married, she had a veil on her. Never went out in darkness. But she never went out no time without a veil. And when she went out, that was a great symbol and an honor. It was wonderful to have a husband in that time. And she went out with a veil on her. That represented that she is married, and she always had a husband with her. Any woman that was caught out without a veil, any woman that was caught out with a veil, rather, and without a husband, my friend, she was counted as a hypocrite. They said she ain't what she's supposed to be, because if she's got the veil, but she don't have the husband, so they took the veil away. You see what I'm talking about? My neighbor, tonight, this old girl went out, and the watchmen that sat on the wall, they saw her, and they found me, and they smote me, and they wounded me, and they took away my veil. You see what I'm saying? Now, brother, that gang is out there looking for folks. when they seen some woman out there with a veil on trying to be a hypocrite, they thought, now she is honest about it, brother. She had a lover. She had a man, but he's gone and she couldn't find him. She wasn't being a hypocrite. She's a backslider. My friend, she'd lost her husband. She'd lost her beloved. She couldn't find him. There wasn't no fellowship, not protection. My friend, listen. Just as sure as you backslide and try to go through this world after you've been saved, every demon in hell will jump you and they'll tear every bit of respect you've ever had off. They'll tear all of the glory off. They'll tear all of your good name down. The demons of hell will tear everything about you that ever was like God off. They'll tear all the veil off. And brother, you'll be looked like, and to the outward eye, you'll look like another sinner. Just a plain old sinner, and the world won't know the difference. Brother, you've never been wounded. Listen. You've never been wounded until you backslide on God and let the devil's crowd get a hold of you, the watchmen's of the wall. Or let a bunch of, you don't have to be the devil's crowd. You just backslide on God one time and all of these hypocritical church folks, these pharisaical folks will turn against you. And no matter how much you try to come back and how much you try to put on or how much you try to get back, brother, there's nobody. This old gal went all through that city crying and screaming. And you know the first one never took any note or ever had any sympathy for her until she found her lover, until she found her Savior, until she found her beloved. There was nobody that paid her any mind. Now, brother, that's pathetic. If you're thinking about backsliding here tonight, or if you're thinking about not doing God's will, you're in bad shape. Because once you fall, son, once you fall, my friend, and lose your testimony, and lose your character, and lose your opportunity, and lose your good name, and lose all your Christian virtue, brother, once you fall, you're going to have to go square to God to get back in fellowship, because ain't nobody going to help you. We got too much religion. Now, brother, that's what's wrong in my church over in Tennessee. We've got so much religion over there, till you let a man fall and they say, I think that's what he ought to have done because I don't think he had it to start with. Honey, you're not the judge. Now, I'm trying to get myself in gear so I can pray for those that are down. Lift up the fallen. Hold up the feeble hand. Brother, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you've gone. If you ever come in contact with the Savior, he'll still pick you up. The Bible said that. Brother, I believe tonight that God still loves you. I don't care who you are or where you were. There's one thing about it. You're going to have to do some looking for it. You see, you can't sit around and say, well, if God ever comes and shakes me up, brother, he done come probably the last time. If you ever get back in fellowship with God, you'll have to do like she did. The Bible says in verse 7, the watchmen, they went about the city and smote me, found me. They smote me and they wounded me. And the keepers of the wall took away the veil from me. Brother, she didn't stop there. You listen, she went right on through. They beat on her and they stomped her. They took the veil away from her and they whipped her. She went right on through that city. You know what she done? She didn't stop and hump up and say, well, I think I'll just quit. Because they've done beat me to death. Honey, if you've ever been saved, I don't care how many lashes you get, how many wounds you have, if you've ever been saved, you don't fall up somewhere and quit. You keep on looking for him and praying for him and calling for him and begging for him and searching for him till you find him. And she said here, those fellows got her and wounded her. They took her veil away. They beat her half to death, and she found a bunch of women out there, bad women.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.